إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described and praised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran in many places. But perhaps the greatest and the best description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the greatest praise for him alayhi salam is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah said, we have not sent you except as a rahmah, as a mercy to al-alameen, to all the worlds. Not only to this world, not only to human beings, not only to Muslims, but to all the worlds, all that we know and all that we don't know. رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah did not even say, we sent you as hidayah. We sent you to guide, because that is the primary purpose of the Nabi. But Allah did not mention that. Allah said, illa rahmatan lil alamin, except for the rahmah. Rahmah is to give, to return good in exchange for bad. Rahmah is not justice. Rahmah is much more than justice. Justice is to give good for good and punishment for bad. But rahmah is to give good in exchange for bad. And this is the quality of Islam. This is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the quality of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remind myself and you of this quality because this is something that seems to have disappeared today, illa mashallah, from our culture, from our society, and from our hearts. We have become harsh, we have become hard, we have become unforgiving, we have become people who carry grudges, we are people who don't remember all the good that somebody does, but one small mistake and you remember it all your life. This is our nature, and very, very unfortunately, this has become the nature and this has become the signature of the Muslims. As I said, illa mashallah, of course, Allah has protected those He has protected. But it is not the signature of Islam. This is not the signature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the signature of Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is divided into 100 parts. And He said, one part Allah sent into this world, thanks to which even the animals, the mother looks after the baby, and all the actions of mercy that you see in this world are thanks to that one part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah sent into this world. 99 parts of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah has kept with Himself and has reserved it to forgive His slaves on the day of judgment. We ask Allah for His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in the Quran right in the first surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning His greatness and glory and majesty and our duty to that, which is to glorify and to thank, where He said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and then Allah said, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah could have mentioned any of His qualities, but Allah did not mention them. Allah mentioned His Rahmah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Rahmah in its peak, and that peak which never declines, which continues forever. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again introduced Himself in Surah Al-Hashr. He had already mentioned Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim in Surah Al-Fatiha. There was no need to repeat that. But who am I to say what there is need and what there is no need? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the need is. And in Surah Al-Hashr, when Allah described Himself, He said, Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada, huwa Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the one who knows what is visible and He knows what is hidden, and He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. In Surah Al-Fatiha, as I mentioned many times before in the tafsir, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim comes before Maliki Yawmiddin. And this is, inshaAllah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in itself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His mercy when He is talking about the day of judgment, which is a day of judgment. It's a day of separating right from wrong, good from bad, good from evil. On that day, Allah is reminding us not of His justice, He is not reminding us of His strength and power and glory and majesty, He is not reminding us of His punishment, He is reminding us of His forgiveness. Because that is the outcome of mercy. What is Rahmah? Rahmah is maghfirah. Rahmah is forgiveness. What else is Rahmah? If you are going to give good in exchange for bad, what is the first good that you will give? Is you will forgive the bad. This is visible in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we read his seerah, and we should read his seerah, we should study his seerah, not only read it. It is visible in his seerah instance after instance after instance. Throughout, his entire seerah is filled with incidents of the rahmat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this about his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran in Surah Tawbah, where he said, "Wabil mu'minina raufur rahim," and he's talking about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That for the mu'mineen, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ar-rauf and ar-rahim. Now, the seerah, if you look at incidents of the forgiveness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course we know all the major incidents. Alhamdulillah, the biggest of them is perhaps Fatah Makkah, where Rasulullah forgave everybody whoever was there in Makkah, which included all those people who were his enemies, all those people who directly tried to harm him, and those people who actually succeeded in harming him. People who confiscated his property, they took away his rights, people who were responsible for the death of his daughter, people who were responsible for the deaths of several of his closest companions, closest and dearest friends, all of them Rasulullah ﷺ forgave. Not only did he forgive, he did two other things. Number one is, even though he was entitled to seek and demand and enforce compensation, this would have been justice. And as a ruler, he had the right to take this action. He could have demanded compensation. Even if he didn't want compensation for himself, he could have demanded compensation for many other Sahaba who lost their possessions because they migrated and they made hijrat. Rasulullah ﷺ did not demand compensation. The other thing which he did was, and this is to be remembered, he never reminded the people of what they had done. Abu Sufyan, for example, Khalid ibn Walid, for example, radiallahu anhum, became Muslim and then they remained with Rasulullah ﷺ until he passed away. But there is no incident in the seerah, there is no hadith wherever in any place where Rasulullah ﷺ reminded Khalid ibn Walid or reminded Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhum about what they did or used to do. Even more, there is no incidence of Rasulullah ﷺ reminding the wife of Abu Sufyan, Hinda radiallahu anha, about her action with respect to the uncle of Rasulullah ﷺ, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, an action which caused Nabi ﷺ so much of pain. He never ever reminded her about that action. Not once. So his forgiveness was complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrated and emphasized the importance of forgiveness in the famous or infamous incident of the false allegation on Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of Surah An-Nur, when this whole incident happened, one of the people who was implicated in this incident in trying to malign the good name of our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was a relative of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And it's ajeeb, the nature of people. This man was a poor man and he used to receive a pension from Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Despite that, he tried to malign the name of his daughter, of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, naturally when this happened, he stopped that pension, because this man did something like this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat confirming the innocence of Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha and prescribing punishment for those who make false allegations, and that's a very severe punishment. It is, you know, 80 lashes and then being declared a liar for the rest of your life and your witness never being accepted in court. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed an ayat and said, do the Muslims not, why don't the Muslims forgive those who have transgressed against them? Do they not want Allah to forgive them? And this ayat came for specifically to Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr Siddiq immediately, not only did he restart the pension that he was giving to this man, he increased it. See the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is an incident where Allah has prescribed punishment. Despite that, Allah is saying, prescribing punishment is my job. As far as you are concerned, forgive the people. You should forgive people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lawmaker, so Allah will make the law, because the law is there for all time. But here is an incident which is not for all time. It is incident is there. But what is the example that you are setting the people? Forgive the people. This issue of forgiveness, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness in the name of His rahmah, which means that we are saying to Allah, Ya Allah, we are not giving good to you, we are giving evil, but please forgive us. Despite that, return good, because you are good. Because you are Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's rahmah was such that people loved him, and they loved him because of his rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. He said, people love you because you are soft to them. And if you had not been soft to them, then they would have run away from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. Linta lahum, Allah said, you are soft to them. They loved him so much because of his rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually had to reveal ayat in Surah Al-Ahzab. The ayat are there. Revealed ayat to say, leave him alone. Give him some space. If he invites you for a meal, go at the time of the meal. Don't go much in advance and sit there. And once you finish eating, then leave. Don't sit there and talk. The Nabi is shy to tell you these things, but Allah is not shy. Imagine. This is the rahmat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People used to cling to him. He attracted them like a magnet attracts iron filings. They stuck to him. To the extent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to say, he has a life, he has his own family, he needs time for himself. So don't be there all the time, leave. Leave him alone. And Allah prescribed the hudud of adab for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Ahzab and in Surah Al-Hujurat and so on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's rahmah was such, so many incidents. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given into the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was 10 years old by his mother, and he served him for 10 years. So from the age of 10 to the age of 20, he was in the service of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, in all those years, I was a young boy, I was serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes I did something, I did what he told me to do, sometimes I did not do it. He said, not one single instance did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even frown at me. I mean, let alone rebuking me, let alone abusing me, or let alone beating me. He says, the question does not even arise. He said, he did not even frown at me. Zaid bin Haritha radhiyallahu anhu, who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed as a slave. He was given to him as a slave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed him. And he made him his son until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran in that context much later. But Zaid bin Haritha radhiyallahu anhu says that one day, he was a little boy. He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me to buy something from the market. He gave me some money. He said, go and buy something. This is in Makkah. He said, I went. On the way, I saw some friends of mine playing. So I got involved with them. And I started playing. The time passed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got worried. He said, where is this boy? I sent him. He has not come. So he went to look for him. And he found him. He said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, I got afraid because I suddenly remembered that he sent me for something. I have forgotten all that. I am playing here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and called him. And he said to him, oh, you got involved in playing. So Zaid bin Haritha said, Ya Rasulullah, I got involved. He said, okay, give me the money, I'll go and buy it. Zaid bin Harithah said, I looked in my pocket, the money also, paisa bhi gir gaya, money also fell somewhere, he lost the money. So even the money is gone. So now he said, the Prophet ﷺ smiled again and he said to me, finish your game and come home. Imagine, this boy is a slave. He said, finish your game and come home. The final story of this, of the Rahmah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a Jewish boy who used to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, and he used to hang around there, and he used to be around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed he wasn't there. So, day passed, 2 days passed. So, he asked people, he said, where is that boy? He always comes here. And so, they say, Ya Rasulullah, he is very sick and it looks like he is dying. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take me to him. He went to his house. This boy was on a bed. He was lying on his bed. His father was standing next to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and sat down next to the bed. He took the hand of the boy in his hand and he said, say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now, this is a Jewish boy. In the Jewish home, the father is standing there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes and holds the boy's hand and says, say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This boy, his last moments on in this world, he looked at his father. The father said, obey Abul Qasim. He said, obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, this is a Jewish man. He's saying, obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The boy said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and died with his hand in the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajeeb khizmat hai. A hand that gripped his hand and will not leave his hand until he enters Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri his hand. This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are supposed to be his ummah. What must we be? What must we do? Where is our forgiveness? Where is our rahmah? Where is our mercy? What has happened to us? People entered Islam because they loved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They fell in love with the Sahaba. They believed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They believed that Allah is one, not because they saw Allah as one. They believed Allah is one because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. They believed in the Jannah and the Nar, not because they saw the Jannah and the Nar. They believed the Jannah and the fire because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. Same Rasul, same Muhammad, same Allah, same Yawmul Akhirah, same Jannah, same Nar. But we have changed. We have changed. And because we have changed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed our qadr. He has changed our qismat. He has changed our life and our world. I'm not saying this with sadness. I'm saying this as a sign of hope. Because if we change back, Allah will change back our conditions. Today we are living in a constant state of fear. What will happen if this election is won by so-and-so? What will happen when that election is won by so-and-so? What will happen when this one becomes a president? What will happen when that one becomes a king? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah has not changed. Allah is not standing for election. Allah cannot lose an election. Why do we care? How does it matter to us? Yeah? How does it matter to us? قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُوْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِيُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah gives and Allah takes. Nobody wins anything on their own. They win because Allah makes them win. And Allah inflicts the oppressors as a way of getting us to return to Him Jalla Jalalu. And therefore, I remind myself and you, let us look at our lives. Let us forgive those who have done anything wrong to us. Let us forgive those who we think have done wrong to us. In my experience, I have seen there are more people we bear grudges against, imaginary. The person may not even have done anything, but we have this something, khumar in the head. So seriously, forgive everybody. Forgive everybody because Allah said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, have mercy on the people of the world because the one in the heavens will have mercy on you. He said, have mercy on the people in this world, and the one in the heavens will have mercy on you. So number one, forgive everybody. Number two, go and look for times and places to show the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And believe me, in this world today that we live, you don't have to go very far. You do not have to go very far. Just go to one of these hospitals. How many people are there in hospital who cannot get medical treatment because they do not have money? And believe me, the kind of money they need, you and I, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the money, it is halal, and spending that also is halal. You and I spend that kind of money in one dinner in one restaurant. How many of you are, may Allah forgive us for that, but anyway, how many of us have not written a check or signed a credit card slip for 15,000, 20,000 in one dinner? That 20,000 is enough is money to give to a person who needs treatment in a hospital. I'm not saying don't spend, it's your money, you earned it, halal, by all means spend it, but do something else, do something here also. How many people are sitting in jail, in prison? Muslim and non-Muslim, I'm not restricting this, but you know and I know, most of them are Muslim. How many people are sitting in prison? And they are sitting there not because of, they are not even serving sentences, they are sitting there because they do not have money for bail. That's all it is. They don't have money for bail, so they are stuck. All they need is somebody to go and offer the bail and they can come out. People are innocent, they are free, they can go home, but they cannot go because of this. I am not even talking about the money we spend in haram ways, in Malakpet race course, and what money we spend in, I'm not talking about ostentatious weddings. I am talking about even just our halal spending. When we look to buy a car, we look to buy to see if we can buy the best car that I can afford. Now, nobody says I can buy a Mercedes, but I will buy a Maruti. No. If I can buy a Mercedes, I will buy a Mercedes. And alhamdulillah, I am not against all that. If Allah has given you the wealth and it is halal, by all means use it. But what about your akhirah? What about the dunya? What about the people that Allah sent us to help? Where is the mercy for this? Seriously, let us ask ourselves this question. If we want the mercy of Allah, we want the protection of Allah, we want the help of Allah, then we have to do things to attract this. And then it will come to us like it came for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain. When they lifted their hands to ask dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their dua before their hands were lowered. The same Allah, the same power He has today, power has not decreased. We have to change the nature of our hands. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with mercy and with rahmah and with forgiveness for each other and forgiveness for others, and the jazba and the emotion to go and do something good for the people of the world. وصلى الله على نبيه الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.